Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to 10% Happier early and ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I never thought I'd be sitting here talking to anyone about this kind of stuff. You know, I mean, this is a piece of me that's just opening up. And so to be able to discuss it in such an intelligent way and to be able to talk about it and to be able to be one of those examples of, look, you know, you can shift the internal, and it does shift the external.
From ABC, this is the 10% Happier Podcast. I'm Dan Harris. So I'll admit, and you'll hear me admit this to my guest this week, that I don't know much about country music. I'm not particularly a huge fan, although I am partial to alt rock, dad rock, alt country, Wilco style stuff. But commercial, big poppy commercial country music isn't really my bag. But I do know the name Leanne Rimes. And so when I saw that there was a magazine article that mentioned that she had a meditation room in her home, I asked her publicists if they'd be willing to put her on this little podcast, and they said, to my surprise, they said yes. And so here we go, Leanne Rimes. She actually has quite a serious meditation practice, as you'll hear her discuss. And she's very articulate about why she does it and what it's done for her. She's had a very interesting life. She's been famous since she was a little kid. Her first big hit was at age 13. She was on Star Search before that. She was, I believe, the youngest person ever to win a Grammy at age 14. She's had a very varied career where she's been in movies. In fact, she's got a brief role in a new movie called Logan Lucky, and she's written books, including novels. She's also been engaged in more than her fair share of tabloidy stuff. We don't really get into that, but she does make some oblique references to it in quite interesting ways. And so without further ado, here we go. Leanne Rimes. So what kind of meditation are you doing?
There's so many different kinds. I started working with an energy healer about a couple of years ago. And one of the reasons why, we were just talking about this off of air, I was on stage and I was experiencing so much energy coming back at me, and I was coming off incredibly drained. And I didn't understand what was going on, really. I mean, I understood the exchange of energy, but not in that way where I was like, wow, why am I coming off like so drained? And I'm just a really empathic, very sensitive person. I think that's just part of my gift in my art. And so, you know, I have all of these fans that have these incredible stories about how my music has been a part of their lives. And some of them are really sad. And I can feel the intensity of the way that people relate to me. So I started working with an energy healer, and she started working with me through a lot of these visualization meditations, because my brain would not shut off. I couldn't sit still for 10 minutes. So a lot of visualizing, a lot of light, and like those kind of things to start with. And then I started diving deeper into it, getting into metta and
meta, like loving kindness meditation.
Really? Yeah, I love loving. Yeah, it's a beautiful meditation. And then I've just started allowing myself, I guess, spiritually, and you know, to listen to my instinct when I sit down to meditate, like guide me through what I need today. And I'm now like literally can sit in stillness for a good 45 minutes to an hour, and like, oh, I just don't want anybody to even bring me out of it, like leave me alone. So it really has changed everything about my life. It's changed my perception about, you know, everything in my life has kind of remained the same, but my perception has changed. And it's, you know, we talk about 10% happier here. Like, I feel like I'm way more than that. Like, at least 50. At least 50.
I don't like getting into mathematical arguments.
No, at least
10%
50.
Was a joke, just for the record.
Yes, no. But it really has. It's changed my relationships, the way I'm less reactive. It's just my whole outlook on life has changed. And it's, you know, I've been doing this. I've been in this business for over 20 years. And
you were famous at 13.
Yeah, which has brought a ton of challenges in itself. And, you know, I've gone through my whole life in the public eye. And so this feels like a piece of me. You know, I get to have those moments for myself. And I used to not be able to sit in, I had separation anxiety big time. I used to not be able to sit by myself at all. I just didn't want to be alone. And now I crave that time every day. I have to have that peace for myself.
I have to say, I didn't know you before, but I was really struck from the moment you sat down in this room, or even meeting. I actually saw you, as just for the listeners, I saw you know this, but Yes. I saw you coming into the building when I said, came up and said hello. I meet a lot of famous people. You don't have that vibe about you, for lack of a less cheesy term.
Thanks.
You really seem like a normal person.
Thank you. I try. I strive for that. You know, it's just something that, God, there's so many levels to that for me. It's something that was instilled in me, I think, as a kid. I mean, I'm from the South. I've always had those kind of values in me. But I think there's a humanity that's come out of me just after all I've gone through. Starting out as a child star, all the ups and downs, I think there's a humanity and a humility that I've found that from where I create from now, from where I connect from now, how I connect to myself. And yeah, there's, I think as I'm starting to get deeper and deeper into meditation and spirituality and into myself, and I think it's so easy for us to use all of our gifts for ourselves and to strive for things for ourselves. And I think I've had that in my life. And of course I want that, but I'm always looking at it now. How can I use my gifts for the whole? And that's really something that I'm, especially in this climate, what we're living in right now, diving into more. I don't know exactly what that looks like completely for myself, but I'm definitely, trying to explore and discover that for myself. Cause I think after being in this business for so long, I've been joking and kind of joking, but it's pretty serious too. It's like, I want to try to expand in a different way, or I don't want to do this anymore. Like, what am I doing it for?
Just putting out hit record putting, after hit
yeah,
record, right?
Just putting out music. Yeah. I mean, I'm as an artist, I have the opportunity to be able to put hope in the world. With my last record, Remnants,
released in February.
Yeah, it was released in February. I made a conscious effort really to put love and hope out in the world. And I think that kind of kicked the ball rolling for me of, okay, how do I expand that?
And you think that in some ways grew out of your meditation practice?
Oh, completely grew out of my meditation practice. Yeah. Just getting in touch with myself and realizing, and then also realizing how connected we all are, and how much we all need to be diving into that piece of how connected we all are right now. And it's just kind of, it's grown really fast within me. And like I said, I'm trying to really kind of figure out how that is going to develop for me to be able to use my gifts and my talents and my platform in a broader way.
It's an interesting question, like how you actually do that, because musicians have been singing about love,
right,
for a long time.
Right.
John Lennon lived and died right up the street from here.
Yeah.
Was doing it in the 60s, and yet we've had plenty of war, and you and I are speaking days after Charlottesville. There's a lot of tumult still. So how does one, as an artist with the platform and the gifts that you have, make a dent in any of this? I wish I had a silver bullet for it.
I wish I did too. I wish I had the answer. I mean, I think it's, you know, as a creator, I think you continue to, for me, what I realized on this last record is if I open myself up, I'm such a conduit to be able to receive creativity, to be able to put out in the world that means something. And, you know, there's probably four or five songs on the Remnants album that have the title Love and Love in the title. And I, as a songwriter, I was like, God, this is so cliche. Like, why are we writing this? And as I took a step back from it, I was like, oh, these are important messages. Like, and we're looking at it from every angle. And so sometimes you have to let that ego side of you that's going, oh, why are you writing so many love songs, completely go and go, oh, this really means something. I see the bigger picture. And so as a creator, I think there's one aspect there of being able to continue to create music and art that speaks to our times, that makes people think. I think that's really important at this moment. You know, people listen to music. People take a look at art, and it really affects them. And so I think I have an opportunity to be able to do that through my music. But as a human and as a person who, you know, hopefully can, you know, I use the word loving activist, because I think it's so important for us to come from that space of love, to come from that space of peace. You know, love says no, and love can make changes. But if we're coming at it from a place of anger and hatred, we're never gonna get anywhere. I mean, I think, you know, Martin Luther King and Gandhi and everybody have shown that and demonstrated that very well. But I feel like sometimes we're not we're not demonstrating that anymore in our society. And so it's time for people to start, I guess, with the awareness of it, to be able to cultivate that and to be able to, I guess for myself, with to be someone who can be an example of that. So I think I start with myself. I start with my music, and then I keep asking myself the question of how can that grow from there?
And opportunities may arise that neither of us could foresee.
Absolutely.
Right now sitting here. I mean,
yeah,
I think
all the time.
I talk about dropping your ego when talking about, when getting into things that you fear are going to be cliche. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of problems with that.
right?
A lot of problems with that. With dropping my ego in any way is a huge problem. But I do think there's something, and this is going to sound a little woo-woo, but there is something to... if you have your intention and motivation in kind of set in the right direction, opportunities may come up for you that you wouldn't have foreseen otherwise.
All the time. Sitting here talking to you, actually, I never thought I'd be sitting here talking to anyone about this kind of stuff. You know, I mean, this is a piece of me that's just opening up. And so to be able to discuss it in such an intelligent way, and to be able to talk about it, and to be able to be one of those examples of, look, you know, you can shift the internal, and it does shift the external. For me, that's been a big thing. So things open up for me all the time. In fact, I keep a gratitude and kind of magic list of my days, and I reflect back every night, and it keeps getting really, really mm-hmm. long. Mm-hmm. Just when you start recognizing little moments of magic and of gratitude, they keep growing. I mean, I always thought it was BS, actually. I was like, you know, really, does that gratitude thing really work? And so I started a list and started creating it, and it just kept getting longer and longer. I'm like, wow, this really does work. When whatever you focus on grows, it's
you,
true.
You are my people, a converted skeptic.
Yes.
Because I do this thing now, this is super cheesy. I've talked about it on this show before, but every night before I go to sleep, you know, you got to do something with your mind mm-hmm. to fall asleep. And I just kind of make a list of the things I'm grateful for.
Yep.
You know, I have a 2-year-old. I'm some days I want to put him in the garbage. But mostly I'm very, very grateful that he exists.
Right.
And start from there. And the list can go really long. And then often I fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get back to what you were talking, though, about your actual meditation practice. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the word metta, M-E-T-T-A, for the uninitiated who may be listening. This is... talk about having to drop your ego, because this practice can feel very cheesy. It's like where you envision people and send them good vibes.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get into that practice? And can you walk us through how you do it?
As they say at Amica, empathy is our best policy. Whether you need auto, home, or life insurance, they're ready to help you protect the things that matter most to you. They're a mutual company, customer-owned, in service to you. Amica representatives are here when you need them, and you can take comfort knowing a real person will be there on the phone to take care of you, because the greatest measure of their success is your satisfaction. You can count on T-Mobile to help keep you connected. After investing billions to light up their network from big cities to small towns, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, when you switch to T-Mobile, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus Verizon and AT&T. Visit your neighborhood store or T-Mobile.com to switch. Plan savings with T-Mobile, third line free on essentials via monthly bill credits versus comparable available plans. Plan features may vary. Credits stop if you cancel or change plans.
More 10% happier on the way, but first a quick word from the sponsor of today's episode, Blue Apron.
Incredible ingredients make incredible meals. That's why Blue Apron partners with a community of over 150 artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, sustainable fisheries, and responsible ranchers across the United States. Thanks to these partnerships, Blue Apron is able to deliver fresh, seasonal, perfectly portioned ingredients with easy-to-follow recipes right to your door for under $10 per meal. Log in each week to select the recipes you want to cook, or let Blue Apron choose based on your food preferences. With Blue Apron, there's no weekly commitment, so you get the deliveries when you want them. Rediscover how fun cooking can be while enjoying specialty ingredients and exploring new flavors and cuisines. When you cook with Blue Apron, you bring the best ingredients to your table while developing a sustainable food system for future generations. Join the growing community of Blue Apron home chefs today and get your first three Blue Apron meals free, plus free shipping at blueapron.com/meditate. That's blueapron.com/meditate. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
I want to get back to what you were talking, though, about your actual meditation practice. How did you get into that practice? And can you walk us through how you do it?
Well, love, because I think, you know, the word love, and I think in our society we look at it as an emotion rather than an action. And so when I started writing this record and this love started coming out, I'm like, whoa, what is, something's trying to tell me something here. And it, I think it started opening my heart in different places where I feel like I had closed it off. And I'll go into this a little bit. I'm a stepmom with two boys that are 10 and 14, and the step family environment can be rocky at times. And so to try to cultivate love in that situation, honestly, that's what brought me to Meta. And when I discovered it, I was like, okay, I'm starting to put all of these little puzzle pieces together for myself. And also the piece of Meta where it was directing it toward yourself is probably one of the hardest pieces for me. Mm-hmm. And so...
Really?
Yeah, big
because
time.
So many people love you.
Well, thanks. But I think it's a loving myself thing. You know, I'm my hardest, you know, worst critic. And so in growing up in this business, like there's so many opinions coming at you and like you lose yourself. You lose that piece of you that is really in touch with the intuition and your soul. And so I think to cultivate that, this, you know, Meta's helped me really sit with finding the love that I so easily give, returning it to myself, and then taking, you know, using people that are, you know, you go from yourself and you go to someone who's neutral and direct love and kindness, and then you go to someone who you love, and then someone who you find difficult, and that, yeah, it's challenging, and to really feel that, I mean, you know, you can intellectualize it all you want, but to really feel that, I mean, I find myself with certain pieces still intellectualizing it a lot, but every once in a while you'll tap into that where you're like, oh, I feel that, I feel love.
How does it play out when the rubber hits the road and you're having a tough moment with the stepkids?
It's that, you know, it's not my stepkids actually. It's the adult dynamic of the whole situation.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha.
sometimes we aren't such big adults. It brings more compassion. I can put myself in someone else's shoes, even though I might not agree with their actions. I can definitely not be responsive.
You mean just like fly off the handle?
Yeah, not at all. It's changed my whole life in that way. And I've also realized that we're all, as human beings, we're all in our different places of growth. And so with that realization, it gives me, I can cultivate more compassion for people. And not to say that I'm above anyone at all. I have so much further to go. But I am in a place at this moment where I can create and cultivate compassion for a place where I actually know that I have been, you know, mm-hmm. I see myself there. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I've been angry about that before. Or that situation might not have happened and occurred in my life, but I know that feeling. And so that's so important. It's so important as human beings that we try to cultivate compassion for one another.
You can't sit and watch your own mind and not see that you're insane.
Oh,
and then when you see how insane you are, you realize, oh, this is the human condition.
Right.
And so when you see somebody else freaking out at the airline counter or being inappropriate over dinner or whatever, or losing it with their child, with a little bit of meditation on board, mm-hmm. you can see, oh, yeah. That's in my repertoire, too.
Right.
I know how that feels.
Yeah.
And I've been there.
And it's funny, like, even little things. There was this guy, I was in the airport, and this man, he walked into me Like, I was coming off of a walking walkway, and I couldn't stop. He just walked into me like I wasn't there. And even the guy beside me, he's like, I didn't even think he saw you. But he hit me hard, and then I ran over his foot with my bag, and I turned around and I went, dude. I'm like, and then I was like, wait. I'm like, are you okay? Like, first though, my first reaction was like, what are you doing? And then I stopped for a moment. I'm like, okay, are you okay? Like, you know, I mean, even those just moments mm-hmm. where you can make a different decision. Mm-hmm. These are, you know, I've been working on this for a couple of years now, and these are new things for me. And it's, for me, it's, you know, out of all that I've accomplished in my life, those moments are huge.
Absolutely.
Like, biggest accomplishments ever.
For a human being.
Yes.
These are, you have, I mean, this is the whole point of this podcast and of my, basically, of the latter half of my adult life, is to point out that these are skills that mm-hmm. you can develop.
Oh, big time.
Being less of an idiot is a skill that you can develop.
Totally.
And you are a walking poster child for this. Before I let you go, because I'm sensitive to the fact that you have limited time, Logan Lucky, you got a new song.
Actually,
this new movie, Logan Lucky, which I hear from you is very good.
It is.
And I believe
very
you.
Funny.
The critics agree with you.
It's very funny. It's Daniel Craig, Adam Driver, Channing Tatum, just a fantastic cast of people. And yes, there's a Steven Soderbergh called. And when Steven Soderbergh calls, I guess you end up in Atlanta singing a song. No, he called in. I guess he'd seen me perform the national anthem at an IndyCar, the Indy 500 race several years ago. And within the film, there's a NASCAR race that where the heist in this film happens. And he needed someone to sing America the Beautiful to open the race. And so he called, and I ended up a couple days later in Atlanta where they were filming. And I didn't realize America the Beautiful had 8 verses. I don't know if anybody knows this, but I was unaware. And I get there, and they hand me the lyrics to it, and I'm like, okay, so 8 verses. I'm like, does he want all 8 verses? And the producer's like, oh yeah, he wants all 8 verses. I'm like, well, can I speak to him? So they take me down to set, and he's like, oh, I had no idea they had 8 verses. I'm like, thank you, God. So he ended up saying, just do the first 2. And so the next morning I come in, I go down, get dressed, go down to the track, and I sing it twice. He has everything set up, sing it twice, and he's like, okay, cool, done. So it was honestly the easiest thing I've ever done. He's the nicest man, such a pro. I mean, his whole team of people around him, the actors, everyone's just amazing. So I think the film is fantastic, and I also have a song off of my album Remnants, which is called Love is Love is Love, that's in the
really
film
tripling
too.
Down on
I know, I am. I'm tripling in. Tripling down. Yeah, but I have that on the soundtrack in the film too. So yeah, it's fun. It was a really fun project that kind of, like you said, kind of came out of the blue, and you're like, oh, okay, that sounds like fun
yeah,
to do.
Yeah, I think if Steven Soderbergh calls me, I will also
right,
say
right, okay, good, yes.
I don't think that's gonna
glad
happen.
We agree on that.
And the other thing you've got going on that I wanted to ask you about is this festival you're doing from Wine Country.
Oh, yes.
Live from the Vineyard?
Live from the Vineyard, yeah. There's a bunch of radio stations all over the country that they're involved in this event, and I'm headlining it this year, and it's in Napa. I mean, once again, you don't really say anything, you know, and say no to Napa, but they bring in a bunch of winners, so I do a couple of shows, actually. I do one big show for the winners, and I do a show for the radio stations and the people that are sponsoring the event. So it's going to be a fun little time. I'm excited about it.
Yeah,
I love doing that.
It sounds like your life ain't bad.
It's not bad. No, I'm good. Things are good.
Thank you very much.
Thanks
for
having
this.
Me. Yeah, yeah, it was so nice to come and talk to you.
Absolute pleasure.
Thank
Any
you.
And one more question. Any if people want to get more information about you, I know you've written books.
Yeah.
And is there a central place where people can go just to learn more?
Yeah, there's LeanneRhymesWorld.com is my website, and then I also started a blog because of all of this change that's happening in me, and I wanted to share another part of myself. Called Soul of Everly, Everle, and that just kicked off a couple of months ago. So I'm just continuing to develop that. So yeah, come find me.
All right,
around.
Send some traffic your way.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Okay, that does it for another edition of the 10% Happier podcast. If you liked it, please take a minute to subscribe, rate us. Also, if you want to suggest topics you think we should cover or guests that we should bring in, hit me up on Twitter at Dan B. Harris. Importantly, I want to thank the people who produced this podcast, Lauren Efron, Josh Cohan, and the rest of the folks here at ABC who helped make this thing possible. We have tons of other podcasts. You can check them out at abcnewspodcasts.com. I'll talk to you next Wednesday.
If you like 10% Happier, and I hope you do, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Once upon a beat. Remember those stories and fables that would capture your imagination and you couldn't wait to see how they would unfold? And now, when you read them as an adult, you think some of these old tales could use a fresh spin. We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remix, and reimagine for the kids in your life today. Join me, DJ Fu, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, as we spin up new tales in the new Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a jam-packed, music-filled weekly party where hip-hop and fables meet. It's Once Upon a Beat. Follow Once Upon a Beat on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Wondery Kids Plus in Apple Podcasts. Once Upon a Beat.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.